You are in the jungle. Welcome to the program. My name is Jim Rome. This show is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage. By Quicken Loans, Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience just the way you want it. What's cracking? What's going on? Nice to have you here. How about that Monday night? Lots to cover off that doubleheader, so let's get right at it. I've got an interview coming up next segment with Carson Palmer. In the meantime, your telephone number is 1-800-636-8686. Get up in here. Get yourself in the rotation. The sooner you call, potentially the shorter the wait. Call right now. It is toll-free. Follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Always do that. That's a great way to participate. You know, we read tweets on the air. It's interactive that way. If it's a really good tweet, I will turn it around, push it back out. Retweet it. It's a good way for you to get followers, build your own brand. Who knows? Maybe you parlay that into a podcast, your own show. Maybe I will bequeath this show to you if you're really good at Twitter. So follow me at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E. Haveatake.com. Carson Palmer, next segment. Will Brinson, next hour. Casey Hayward, in hour number three. So three NFL interviews coming off that NFL doubleheader last night. Phone lines are open. Take advantage of them. Do not wait for me. You've got to know what you want to talk about. The NFL season's underway. It got off to a great start. All right, speaking of Monday night, hell of a Monday night game, right? The first one, not the second one, which I'll get to in a minute, but the first one. Because the first one had everything you'd want in a game, and it had some things that you definitely would not want in a game. The two phrases that always get used in the first week is, it's only one game, and picked up right where they left off. Well, the refs picked up right where they left off, jamming the Saints. The Texans' offensive line picked up right where they left off, picking up Deshaun Watson after he was getting decked repeatedly. In other words, two things that simply cannot keep happening, but are. And of the two, the Texans' pass protection was somehow even worse than the refs. Watson, you might recall, was sacked a league-high 62 times last year, just under four per game. Last night, he was sacked six more times. After being pressured on 41% of his dropbacks last season, he was pressured on 45% of them last night. So, sure, it's only one game. But if that one game is any kind of indication, the Texans' O-line is getting worse, not better. Watson's life is even more at risk now than it was last year. And despite all of that, he still nearly led them to an amazing comeback win. That's how much of a stud this guy is. I mean, seriously. Did you see that throw that he made to DeAndre Hopkins?
Make him throw the ball in front of you.
Goes downfield. And he connects. DeAndre Hopkins has the Texans in business like that.
I mean, a stud. How about that TD to Kenny Stills?
Watson operating out of the gun. Watson throws over the middle. It is caught. Touchdown. Kenny Stills has just burned the Saints. Deshaun Watson is a magician. What a throw and what a rally.
And what a shot he took on that play. Guy takes a tremendous shot and still ends up throwing a perfect pass, a perfect dime. Two plays, 13 seconds on the road in one of the most hostile, loudest joints on earth. Those are the kind of face-melting moments that this guy can give you as long as somebody's not in his face, and even when somebody is. So let me address the Texans personally. You guys have been given a national treasure in Deshaun Watson. Take care of this guy. Protect this guy. The world wants to see a long career from this guy. He's a stud. He's different. He's special. If you can't protect the man and he gets maimed, I'm telling you, I will personally come down there and I will not be happy when I arrive. And I don't root, but that's how much I think of and respect Deshaun Watson. And yes, I know Deshaun Watson is tough as hell. The guy is. We know this. But did you not see what happened to Andrew Luck over the past 4 years? And wasn't the same thing being said about Andrew Luck? He's tough as hell. Did you not see what happened to him the last 4 years? Because the rest of the world did. And the rest of the world knows that if you're lucky enough to get a transcending quarterback, you better do absolutely everything in your power to keep that guy safe. To not do so is practically criminal. And if Watson does get hurt, that's not just a loss for Houston. It's a loss for everybody. Again, he's that special. He's that good. Yeah, but don't worry. Don't worry. New addition, Laremy Tunsil, is on the case.
How many sacks we get with today? Six? Yeah, so we gotta make that. We got to improve that number. We got to drop that number down a little bit.
That's funny to me. How would you like to be Deshaun Watson? And you just got blasted the entire game. The defense gives up a horrible drive to lose the game. And you're starting offensive lineman. The guy they brought in to protect you is saying, yeah, six sacks is a little bit too high. We might need to get that number down.
Got to drop that number down a little bit.
We might need to drop that number down a little bit. You think, Laremy? Here's an even better idea. Instead of reducing that number, how about you eliminate that number? Or at least try to eliminate that number. Because it sounds to me like the guy they brought in to shore up the offensive line and to watch your back is saying, we all know six sacks is too many, but, you know, I could probably live with four, maybe five. And as big of a letdown as that Texans offensive line was, what the hell was Houston's defense doing on that final drive? But before I get to the New Orleans Saints and the field goal, why don't we spend a moment on what happened right after the TD to Kenny Stills? Because at that point, that game was still tied at 27. The Texans kicked the extra point to take the lead, right? It's a given, right? Not exactly.
Kaimi Fairbairn. Oh, he pushed it! No good, but a flag down. 27-27. Penalty marker on the play. Was Fairbairn hit?
Personal foul. Roughing the kicker. Defense number 22.
What a turn of events. Kaimi Fairbairn missed the extra point, but the Saints are called on the penalty.
Well, he missed all right. Was he hit? He was lying on his back. Tie game. Missed point after. Oh, but wait. There is a flag on the play. You know, Saints fans had to love that. This is the same dome where the refs did not throw a flag against the Rams, yet now there's a flag for roughing the kicker. That had to feel pretty good. That had to feel just awesome, especially after the Saints were jammed at the end of the first half with that bizarre clock runoff that started at the wrong time, cost them 15 seconds, and a much better look at a field goal. Now, I'm not going to say that the Saints fans have a point when they say the refs are out to get them, but I can't say that I blame them if they think that. So now they're down 28-27 after the made extra point, and Drew Brees goes to work. 15 yards to Ted Ginn, 11 to Michael Thomas, 9 more to Ted Ginn. That sets up the field goal. But before I roll the field goal, again, one quick question. What the hell were the Texans doing on defense? Defending a Hail Mary? It seemed like half that crew was bailing out and backpedaling when the Saints only needed like 9 yards. And actually, with the way Saints kicker Will Lutz crushed that ball, they didn't need any extra yardage because this guy absolutely smoked it.
58-yard attempt for the win. Snap, placement, Lutz leans into it. Lutz has got the distance. Oh, he's got it! Saints win!
It's a hell of a win for the Saints. A hell of a win for the Saints, even if the refs did not want them to win. Had another bad night while working a Saints game. Despite that, hell of a game. Great game. Awesome game. Hell of a reminder of just how good Drew Brees still is in the clutch. A hell of a reminder of how good Deshaun Watson is and how good he could still be if Houston has any interest in keeping this guy upright. I don't know, Bill O'Brien. Bill O'Brien, the GM, is going to have a long talk with Bill O'Brien, the head coach, today. Protections and prevent defenses are going to have to be atop that list to address. Coach him up, Billy, because Billy the GM cannot help you anymore. He's already traded away half the future for a guy that was supposed to have your quarterbacks back and did not. What do we have, six sacks? What do we have, six sacks? That might be a little bit too much. Tough loss. Tough loss, especially when it seemed like Deshaun Watson ripped a miracle. How about that, coach / GM, Bill?
Both teams played hard. Probably, you know, we just didn't make enough plays in the second half to overcome it. So, you know, they did a great job. Give credit to the Saints. They got a great team. But we've got a good football team.
Man, that is some kind of answer. Both teams played hard. They made more plays. They've got a good team. Give them credit. But we've got a good team.
Both teams play hard.
They made more plays. They got a good team. But we got a good team. Thanks for that, coach.
Got to drop that number down a little bit.
Thanks for that, GM. You know what you need to do? You need to protect your quarterback. You needed to protect your quarterback after what happened to him last year. And last night was evidence that you're no better at it. You better hope it's only one game. Before I say it's only one game, you better hope it's only one game. All right, so that was a great game, though. Great game to start that doubleheader. And then you had the nightcap. Not as good a game. Normally, when there's a second game, normally I would say more football is good. A second Monday night game is even better. Except not last night. They get their own take. Dear Jim, who's laughing at me now? I was able to get my agent to get me off the Miami Dumpster Dolphins, so now I can proceed to get Deshaun Watson killed. Bongingly yours, Laramie Turnstile.
Make that, we gotta improve that number.
That's easy. That's lazy. That's convenient. Laramie, by the way, is a damn good player. I could argue he's top five at his position. Why do you think they gave up so much for him? He's going to have to do a hell of a lot better than he did last night. That's not why they brought him in. He's going to have to play better, protect better, and have a better take than, what did we allow, six sacks? We're going to have to do a little better than that.
How many sacks we get with today? Six. Yeah, see, we got to make that. We got to improve that number. We got to drop that number down a little bit.
You do have to drop that number down a little bit. To like zero. You don't need to see your stud going in and out of that blue tent the entire game. Hey, Rome, the most important thing we learned last night is that DeAndre Hopkins should join the UFC. Jeremiah, Greenville. I was trying to think of the last time I saw a wide receiver get flagged for unnecessary roughness. A wide receiver not named Hines Ward. All right, when we come back, Carson Palmer, former NFLer, joins us. Look for that. Phone lines are open. Hey, clones, what do we want when we're craving protein or we need more energy? Not bars, not sugary snacks, not energy drinks. We want beef, pure and simple. Where is the beef? It's in a package of Old Trapper beef jerky. Old Trapper is not your father's jerky. You know, shriveled, dry, tasteless. Old Trapper beef jerky is made from lean strips of steak, quality spices that are smoked over a real wood fire. It's tender, it's tasty, it's not tough. Doesn't taste like an old shoe. And why is it so good? Because Old Trapper is a 50-year-old family business, which is known for its relentless commitment to quality. In other words, they take smoked beef very seriously, and you can taste it in every single bite. Old Trapper is packed with protein. It comes in four amazing flavors to satisfy all your cravings. Quality smoked meat at its finest that goes wherever you go. To the game, to the gym, to the beach. So look for Old Trapper in the clear view bag. That way you can see the quality that you're buying. Look for it in major retail stores near you. If you don't see it, ask for it by name, because no other jerky compares. Old Trapper, what's your beef?
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Stay on the NFL, right? We are joined right now by somebody who played 15 years in the NFL, a three-time Pro Bowler, 12th all-time in NFL passing yardage and TDs. He won a Heisman Trophy. He was a consensus All-American. He was the first pick in the 2003 draft out of USC. He appears today courtesy of FedEx Air and Ground NFL program. We are joined by Carson Palmer. Carson, good to have you back. How are you?
I'm doing great, Jim. Thanks for having me on.
Good to have you. All right, so a lot to talk about, but why don't we start with last night's game, Houston-New Orleans. Carson, what did you think of the two passes Deshaun Watson threw to move Houston down the field in two plays to get that go-ahead TD?
Absolute seeds. I mean, he got to the right guy at the right time, got hit on both of them, and threw just two perfect balls, really, and walked off the, you know, walked over to the sideline, grabbed some Gatorade, thinking, I'm going to put my hat on, I'm going to put my helmet down, we got this game, it's over. And just like that, three quick Drew Brees passes, and you're walking out of that call, or you're walking out of that stadium with a loss. It's a tough one to swallow. It was a tough position for Houston to be in and for Deshaun Watson to be in, losing week one on the road when you're getting ready to celebrate and party like you want.
Carson Palmer joining us. You know, I'm curious, so what did you think? You know, that's probably what he thought when he came back to the sideline, but you knew Drew Brees was going to get the ball back. You knew he had 37 seconds left on the clock. So what did you make of how he handled that drive, and was there any doubt in your mind that he would get them into position for a field goal?
Not very much doubt. I mean, 37 seconds with one timeout is not ideal, especially when you're putting a 58-yarder on your field goal kicker. But, I mean, Drew Brees has done it time and time again. He's not showing any signs of slowing down. And I thought one of the most impressive parts of that game, other than Deshaun Watson, was Alvin Kamara. I mean, he is so much fun to watch. He is so explosive and so good in the pass game and the run game. Drew's got him. He's got Michael. You know, he's got all these guys around him, a ton of talent. So it's going to be a fun year to watch the Saints on offense.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more. I thought Kamara was amazing last night. Not that we didn't see anything that we haven't seen from him in the past, but I thought the guy was amazing. And Drew's got so many weapons to work with. Carson Palmer's joining us. So, Carson, moving along, you know, you don't pay a guy off of only one game. But when you see what Dak Prescott did against the Giants, how good did he look to you?
He was flawless. Every aspect of his game. You saw him do some audibilizing at the line of scrimmage and have success in the next play. He threw the ball with touch down the field. He threw the ball with velocity. He threw it accurately. Mechanically, he was extremely sound. He was on balance. He was throwing off a platform. Really, really great way to see him start the season. And they have a ton of talent around him and a great group of offensive linemen in front of him. But, I mean, the way he feathered the ball with touch and put the ball right where it needed to be on a couple deep passes, especially that one to Amari Cooper down the left sideline where he really couldn't stretch him out. He had to get the ball up and down before he caught the ball and ran out of the back of the end zone. I mean, he really showed you every facet of his game is firing on all cylinders in week one.
Carson Palmer is joining us. He appears courtesy of FedEx Air and Ground NFL program. Carson, obviously you and I have talked about Tom Brady in the past, but again, I don't know how to phrase this any differently, but how impressed were you with the way he showed up on Sunday night? He completes 2/3 of his passes for nearly 350 yards and 3 touchdowns. What were your thoughts upon his performance Sunday?
It just looked so easy. I mean, it was just such a ho-hum Sunday night opener at home, revealing the banner, celebrating last year's championship. Been there before, done it a bunch of times. It just looks so fluid and easy, and he's 42 years old, and everybody thinks he's too old. I mean, it was just one of those games where he came out and shut everybody up, and now everybody's saying, oh, the Patriots are the team to beat. So it was really fun to watch, and he's still doing it, you know, at 42 years old with more talent around him than maybe he's ever had in his career.
All right, so how do you like the fit of Antonio Brown with the Patriots, and how do you think that will go?
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I think Antonio Brown is a perfect receiver for Ben Roethlisberger. Ben's going to move in the pocket, buy some extra time, let Antonio run a curl, and then shake himself open and take off and streak down the sideline for a touchdown. I mean, that is what AB is, and that is what makes Roethlisberger so great. So for AB to come into a system where he's got to be precise, he's got to be in the exact spot right when Brady needs him there. And all Brady's receivers, you know, throughout his career have been precision, guys he can count on to be exactly where he expects them to be. AB is not that guy. AB sometimes runs a route 10 yards, sometimes he runs it at 14 yards, sometimes he delay release, sometimes he speed releases. So I don't like the mesh and the fit of those two players together. And I also want to see what happens when, you know, Antonio Brown only has 3 or 4 targets in week 5 and then only 2 or 3 targets in week 8. And starts realizing he may not be hitting all these incentives he needs to hit to get that extra $5 million. So So I just don't like the mesh. I don't like the fit, and I think it's going to end ugly for AB. It's not going to end ugly for New England. They're still going to go out and do their thing, but I think AB's going to maybe be out of there before the season ends.
Carson Palmer joining us. He's appearing courtesy of FedEx Air and Ground NFL program. You know, when you take a step back and you look at your playing career, as everybody knows, you played with some really big personalities at wide receiver as well. When you were playing with Chad Johnson and later Chad Ochocinco, what was he like when it came to going to meetings, coming to the facility, and all the details, the important details like that?
He was there every day, showed up to work, ran every route for the starting offense, and then when the starting defense would go up against the scout team offense, he would pull the scout team receivers out, and he would jump in and run their routes for them. So he was always working, always grinding, worked harder than probably any other receiver in the league. And that's what made his game so great, is it carried over from Wednesday's practice, Thursday's practice, and on into Sunday. In every meeting, I mean, I'm sure he was late for a handful of meetings here and there, but he showed up to work. He showed up to work, and he showed up to outwork everybody on our team and every other team. But this stuff that Antonio Brown's done is unbelievable. I mean, it's one thing after another, and that's the new diva receiver. Chad looks like a dream compared to what AB's been pulling.
Carson Palmer joining us. You know, for the past few weeks, the topic of Andrew Luck keeps coming up, Carson. And when I talk to guys who played the game for a long time in that league, they know, they understand the physical and mental pain that Luck was going through. What did you think when you watched him announce his retirement?
I thought it came from the heart. And it was organic, and he got up there with probably a number of things he wanted to say, and he just opened up his heart and spoke his mind. I get it. I understand why people don't understand it, but I get it. Being a guy that is all about team and all about work and all about being together and grind and, you know, all the things that go into building a team and going throughout a season. When you're not able to do that and you're not playing and it gets to Sunday and you're staying on the sideline in a t-shirt and shorts while everybody else is suited up in uniforms, it takes an emotional toll, especially if you're a guy like Andrew who just loves his teammates and loves being there and loves being accountable. When you can't be there, you feel like, you know, a waste of space, a waste of salary cap space, a waste of a locker in the locker room. You know, it's tough to process when it happens year after year after year. And I think the toughest thing watching Andrew, because I'm a big fan, I thought he was an unbelievable player, but the toughest thing was watching those first 3 years. He got sacked 30 times a year in his first 3 years, so that took a physical toll on him. You can't expect your franchise player to go out there and play with, you know, a bunch of sixth and seventh round and free agent offensive linemen. They needed to build that around him, and they didn't. And his body, you know, his body took a beating in those, you know, 100 sacks in year 1 to 3 is far too many sacks for any quarterback to take. And unfortunately, I think it led him into this spot that he's in now where he just physically can't get healthy and can't get right again.
All right. So to that point, then, if you see Deshaun Watson, and I think he's another kind of special kind of player, if he gets sacked 62 times last year, he's already had that one ACL injury and he got sacked 6 more times last night. How concerned are you?
Very. I mean, it takes its toll on your body. And when you're young, you think, it's not that bad. I'll bounce back. And by the time you get to Wednesday's practice and Thursday's practice, your body starts to feel good again. But when you're 28, 29, and 30, that all changes. It's all delayed. You have another couple days of recovery in order to, you know, for you to feel good enough to go in and play on a Sunday. And they know the issue. I mean, the stats don't lie. There's a reason they traded for Laremy Tunsil and started him on Monday Night Football when he just got to Houston 5 days prior. So it's obviously an area of concern. Bill O'Brien's trying to do what he can about it, but it's hard. It takes years to build up an offensive line group, and they're trying to do that really in one offseason right now, and it's nowhere near where it needs to be.
Got a few more minutes with Carson Palmer. Now, over the summer, the Cardinals and Michael Bidwill FaceTimed you and told you that they want you to be a member of the Ring of Honor at the stadium. It's a ceremony which is going to take place on September 29th. What does the honor mean to you, and what kind of emotions do you expect to be feeling on that big day?
Tremendous honor. I mean, it was such a great time in my career and played with so many great guys. Great friends, played for unbelievable coaches. Obviously, Michael Bidwill, Steve Keim, our GM, It's a tremendous honor, and my whole family's going to be there, and we're going to celebrate it. And I can't wait for that weekend and being a part of, you know, the oldest franchise in NFL history, and putting your name up there on inside the stadium is something that they can't take away from you ever. And it's just such a tremendous honor for me.
That'd be a great day. Carson Palmer joining us. Now, you're working with FedEx as part of their Air and Ground program. Once again, lay it out for me. What's it all about? How do people get involved?
Yeah, so this is the 17th season of the Air and Ground program, and it provides support to the USO program. So our recently retired servicemen and women, when they do retire from serving our country, they go into the USO Pathfinder program. And FedEx is donating over $200,000 to the USO Pathfinder program to help our retired servicemen and women transition into civilian life. So it's a great cause. It's a lot of fun. You can vote each week on the NFL Twitter page. You can also vote at NFL.com/FedEx. This week, Dak Prescott gets my vote for what we were talking about earlier. He was just spectacular this week, week one. And there was a lot of great performances on the ground. I actually might have to vote for Ezekiel Elliott to come out of, to leave Cabo and show up and play a football game on Sunday and rush for almost 100 yards. It's pretty spectacular. There aren't many guys on the planet that can do that. So those are the two guys that are getting my vote for this week. But voting happens between Tuesdays and Thursdays, so make sure everybody tunes in and votes this week.
And it's not like it's the first time that Ezekiel Elliott's done that either. He played 15 years in the NFL. He was a Heisman Trophy winner. He was the first pick overall in 03. Today, appearing courtesy of FedEx Air and Ground NFL program, Carson Palmer, my guest. Carson, great to get caught up. Appreciate you as always. Thank you.
Thanks, Jim. Great to talk, man.
You too. Great talking to you, Carson. Man, the Palmer family is keeping me in it. Jordan Palmer for our podcast last week. Carson right there. It's good stuff. Speaking of the Jim Rome podcast, Texas Ranger great Michael Young joins me tomorrow. They retired his number recently. Glad they got around to that finally. Michael Young was an unbelievable ball player. Oh, and an all-time gaucho. Extremely well thought of. I love Michael Young. Carson Palmer was tremendous. How about Carson Palmer on Antonio Brown pulling no punches and saying, you know what, I don't like it. I don't like it because the guy does a lot of freelancing. Then when you have a guy like Ben who can extend a play, that's perfect. But that Patriot offense is so precise, and what they ask the receivers to do is so precise that it's not the best fit. Tommy Kahuna tweets, wow, Carson Palmer is killing it right now. Got to get to him on every Tuesday. Quarterback talking about quarterback. Sweet. Hey, listen, I don't book anybody every single week. We've never done that. But Carson Palmer is a guy that you could do every single week. He's that good. And so is his bro. Little bro Jordan's that good, too. All right, when we return, I want to get to the other half of that doubleheader. Broncos, Raiders. The opener was unbelievable. Nightcap, not so much. But tip your hat to the Raiders. And how about all that Bronco hype that we heard all offseason? Where were they? Another amazing story from yesterday. Bobby Petrino. Does that name ring a bell? Bobby Petrino made his triumphant return to Arkansas, and it was everything that I could have ever hoped that it would be. The GOAT returned, a conquering and triumphant hero. Those stories are coming up. Phone lines are open. The Astros look unbeatable right now. A juggernaut offensively. All that's still ahead, but first, here is your sports update.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Carson Palmer was so good, I want to reset that already. And welcome back. I want to get to the second half of that doubleheader last night, and there is some reaction to the first game. Dear Romy, we tried everything to beat the Saints again, and we were heartbroken by Will Lutz's field goal. If you watch the replay, you can see us blowing towards the ball, trying to push it outside the goalposts. Signed, the refs. Casey, New Hampshire, wore the umpire, unleashing a Tiger Woods fist pump after that roughing the passer penalty. I mean, it could never happen, but it certainly seemed like it, didn't it? Felt like it, especially with that run off the clock in the first half. This says, hey, Rome, how far have the Broncos fallen that they would lose to the dumpster fire that is the Raiders, were John Elway retiring and never being heard from again? Imagine a Bronco fan saying that. A Bronco fan who loved John Elway almost as much as an executive as they did as a player when he ran Tim Tebow off, which was not easy. When he got Peyton Manning to come in, which was not that easy. And now they're warning him retiring and never being heard from again? That's the legacy now? Let's go back to Carson Palmer. I think most of you, when you saw that he was going to the Patriots, the reaction was, no! Great. How the hell is anybody going to be able to guard or cover Josh Gordon, Julian Edelman, and Antonio Brown? Especially with Tom Brady running that offense, getting it out as quickly as he does. It's impossible, right? It can't be done. Well, Carson Palmer is one of the rare guys to come in and say, now hold up, it's actually not a good fit at all.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I think Antonio Brown is a perfect receiver for Ben Roethlisberger. Ben's going to move in the pocket, buy some extra time, let Antonio run a curl, and then shake himself open and take off and streak down the sideline for a touchdown. I mean, that is what AB is, and that is what makes Roethlisberger so great. So for AB to come into a system where he's got to be precise, he's got to be in the exact spot right when Brady needs him there. And all Brady's receivers, you know, throughout his career have been precision, guys he can count on to be exactly where he expects them to be. AB is not that guy. AB sometimes runs a route 10 yards, sometimes he runs it at 14 yards. Sometimes he delay release, sometimes he speed release. So I don't like the mesh and the fit of those two players together. And I also want to see what happens when, you know, Antonio Brown only has 3 or 4 targets in week 5 and then only 2 or 3 targets in week 8. And starts realizing he may not be hitting all these incentives he needs to hit to get that extra $5 million. So I just don't like the mesh. I don't like the fit. And I think it's going to end ugly for AB. It's not going to end ugly for New England. They're still going to go out and do their thing. But I think AB's going to maybe be out of there before the season ends.
All good points. These are all valid points. That's not to say that it won't work out. But if it doesn't work out, it'd be because of that. And remember, when he and Ben Roethlisberger had that falling out, it was in large part because Ben criticized AB's route running. I mean, he did so on air, but he criticized his route running. So if that's Ben, and he let AB freelance, and he's looking to extend plays, if you're Tom Brady, and you are extremely precise and extremely demanding in what you need your wide receivers to do, and Antonio Brown essentially shows up and does whatever the hell he wants and runs whichever route he wants, how might that work out? You know, I think Carson, that last point that he made, that Antonio Brown, let's not forget, he had $30 million guaranteed from the Raiders and blew that whole thing up and shows up right now with 9 or 10 guaranteed, but he's got an additional $5 million in incentives. What happens when they're winning and Tom Brady is spreading the ball around and it's all working, but AB's not getting his targets? And therefore, he's not getting his incentives. Then what? Hey, Rome, the Cardinals putting Carson Palmer in the Ring of Honor when he only played a couple of years for them isn't weird. Sign people on airplanes who become friends and exchange email addresses. Steve and PHX wore the Raiders putting Antonio Brown in the Ring of Honor. Hey, Steve, Carson Palmer played for the Cards for 5 years and was one of their best quarterbacks ever. And they appreciate him. People on airplanes who become friends and exchange email addresses are weird. I've been on an airplane every weekend for the last 3 weeks, and I've already seen that like 3 times. It's weird. The Raiders are not going to put Antonio Brown in the Ring of Honor. And I'm happy for Carson Palmer. I'm glad he's going in. Hey, Jim. Saints fan had to be sick about that blown call by the refs right before halftime. Missed calls keep happening to them. time after time. Yours, Cindy Lauper. Mike in Buffalo, helping him. Wore 80s resets on Tuesday. Sure, Mike. If I was a local host. Sure, Mike. If I were lazy. Sure, Mike. If I had nothing else to talk about. Yeah, Mike, I'd probably take you up on your stupid idea. Hey, let's have some 80s resets. There's the bar. Can you do better than genius Mike in Buffalo helping him with a Cyndi Lauper reset? Hey, Mike, guys like you? No, Mike, specifically you are not helping him at all. You're hurting him. And you shouldn't be jacking up my radio program all the time. All right, so this guy came in and made some noise right off the bat. Enough noise that he almost ripped a golden ticket right off the bat. Made noise when many of you accused him of self-glossing. And he had to come back in and say, I didn't self-gloss. This is my name. Let's see. Let's see if he can keep that streak going. If so, it may result in the first golden ticket in a long time. Let's go to Wichita. Drizzle. Drizzle, what's up?
Yo, what's happening with you, Romy? Rome, how you living, man?
Good, good. Dude, how about you?
Yo, man, I can't complain. You know what I'm sizzling? But, yo, man, I'm about to kill the hopes and dreams of all these Faker fans right quick. Y'all beat the Donkeys. The same Donkeys who haven't been relevant since Peyton Manning retired. This Donkeys team features Joe Flacco. This ain't 2013 Joe Flacco, the same 2013 guy who was doing badass stuff like making Super Bowl predictions and then throwing for 300 yards in every playoff game. Y'all got 2019 replaced by a rookie saying stuff like, I'm focused on our team and I'm happy to be here, Sofford and Cool Whip Flacco. Wait till y'all play the Chiefs and your facade will get exposed by Patrick Mahomes, who's going to shred that defense like a Rambo rampage. But hey, if my team won 4 games last year, I'd celebrate beating anyone, too, even if the Donkeys are as good as a migraine. Now, what's my name? I'm out, Rome.
Drizzle. Wichita. You know what? I'll give it to him. Give him that golden ticket.
I've got a golden ticket. I've got a golden ticket.
Drizzle in Wichita ripping a golden ticket for the 2020 Smack-Off sometime next summer. I gotta admit, maybe half his game is that voice, man. My man sounds great. Maybe the takes, and the takes are really good, but they might be a little bit better on the strength of that pipe. My man's got an amazing voice, but he's got good energy, can turn a phrase. I like his attitude, like his swagger. Now you gotta find a way to hold on to that golden ticket all the way until next summer. That's the thing about getting a golden ticket early on. But he's been coming in. I like the volume. He's a volume shooter. He's not afraid. So go ahead, Twitter. Go ahead, JTP. Do what you do. Hate on the announcement. At Oh My It's Brad tweets, do we remember Bobby Petrino? We're still trying to pressure wash his face off our pavement after he laid his bike down. Signed, Fayetteville Public Works employees. Let me save you the trouble. Dasmati's got his hand up. I got that. I'll take care of that. If Dasmati worked for Fayetteville Public Works, before they could even lift that bike back up, that flush would have been off that gravel. Dasmati would have handled that business. All right, I want to get to that next hour. Do you remember Bobby Petrino? Do you remember what he did at Arkansas? Do you remember what he did as head coach of the Atlanta Falcons? Do you remember Bobby Petrino? Clearly in Arkansas they do, because he made his triumphant return and was given a standing ovation. Yeah, I don't know what they remember about the guy. Clearly the wins. I remember everything else about the guy, and I remember Mike Zimmer with one of the all-time great NFL quotes. In fact, one of the all-time great life quotes as it relates to Bobby Petrino. I will hit that next hour. I want to also talk about the Broncos and Raiders next hour. Will Brinson joins me next hour. Stay tuned.